lose so much, maybe lose everything in a major earthquake or hurricane. And I was particularly struck and have continued to follow kind of the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Now, Floridians are pretty much used to hurricanes, but I don't think the people of Western North Carolina were used to hurricanes. Georgia, of course, was impacted, South Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, a southwest corner of Virginia, and Western North Carolina. Just out of curiosity, I just put into a search, how far is it from Asheville to the Gulf Coast? And the AI search machine picked Gulf Shores, Alabama, and it said it was 493 miles. And that was just amazing to me, that 500 miles inland, over mountains, a hurricane could still dump 20 to 30 inches of rain and cause the devastation that was there in Asheville, North Carolina. As Kathy and I were on our way home from Memphis, Tennessee to see our family, we stopped and spent a couple days in Abington, Virginia. It's a lovely little town. I really recommend it. The Virginia Creeper Trail is there, and we had intended to ride our bikes along there, but half the trail was destroyed by that same hurricane. So we walked a good portion of it, but we drove our car up to Damascus, Virginia, and we actually saw firsthand homes that were just crumbled up in splinters of wood, trees and debris just piled up there. It was just amazing to see that firsthand. So whenever there's a natural disaster, immediately rescuers come in and begin to search for people to save them out of the ruins or on rooftops. And that can take days. Then utility companies will come in behind them and begin to restore services. And that can take weeks. And then, of course, is the rebuilding effort. Maybe the infrastructure or houses or buildings. And that rebuild can actually take years. Well, there's a book in the Bible that talks about rebuilding a city, technically rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And that book is the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, we read, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision.' And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' So they strengthened their hands for the work." So as I read that passage, I thought, well, of course, they experienced the loss of their city. But what really touched me was the emotional state of these people. They said they had been experiencing derision and shame and disgrace and probably a whole slew of other emotions. And that also comes along with great loss, doesn't it? The emotional impact upon your life. And you could feel that same way if you're trying to rebuild your life. There's just a lot to deal with there. We're going to have shakings and storms in this life. They're inevitable. James 1:2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Our natural reaction usually is to ask why. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? I don't think that's a very good question. Most of the time it's unanswerable. Just look at the book of Job. I think in this life, we won't always have an answer to the why question, or at least this side of heaven. And plus, maybe an explanation wouldn't really comfort us and give us peace anyway. I think a much better question is, what now? Lord, what should I do now that I've gone through this trauma, this hurt, this loss? What are the next steps that I can take? So let me share with you seven principles from God's word that if you experience loss, that you could put into application and effect in your life. And the first thing is to grieve. Loss always produces strong emotions like grief and anger and fear and depression. And those feelings can be quite scary. We don't know how to deal with them, especially us guys. So what does God want you to do with the plethora of emotions that come with a loss? First, don't resist them. We say, I won't let myself feel anything. It's too painful. Don't rehearse them. We can torture ourselves over and over with what might have been, second guessing ourselves. Don't reduce them, minimize them. It's no big deal. I'll just pretend that it never happened and it doesn't hurt. Don't repress them. You know, push those feelings down. Some of us are really good at stuffing in our emotions. We're stuffers. And what happens is, it's like a volcano. Eventually, all that lava pours out someday on somebody. Someone said, when I swallow my feelings, my stomach still keeps score. Instead, release those emotions to God in prayer. The psalmist was really good about that. The Psalms is full of emotional expression to God. Psalm 18, verses 4 through 6. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. Very expressive. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Things in life won't always go smoothly. It's okay to mourn. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So tell God exactly how you feel. He's not afraid of your emotions and feelings. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Don't turn from God in your storm. Turn to him. Here's a second principle from God's word. Don't get bitter. It's entirely up to you whether through your loss, your painful experience, it's going to make you a bitter person or a better person. The choice is yours. And it can't be both ways. Well, I'll just be bitter half the time, and I'll be better the other half of the time. You are going to be as joyful as you choose to be. I have found no correlation between painful life experiences and real joy. I've seen people go through major loss and remain positive and optimistic and joyful, while others go through seemingly minor loss by comparison, and all they are full of self-pity and complaining the rest of their lives to anyone who will listen. If there's an 11th commandment, maybe it should be, thou shalt not bellyache. Listen to Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Not only does bitterness hurt you, but it hurts others around you, just like jabbing them with a poison needle. Bitterness never cures or changes anything, just prolongs the pain. How can I resist bitterness from creeping into my life if I have a painful experience? Accept what can't be changed. Change what can be changed. You will find that most of life, or many things in life, are beyond your control. The only way to get past some problems is to accept them. Realize that my past is past. Nothing's going to change that. But I will not let it hold me in bondage in the future. A big part of faith is facing the facts without being discouraged. Focus on what's left, not what's on lost, what's been lost. And find something to be thankful for. Our song set today encouraged us to count our blessings, to be positive, to find something to be grateful about, because gratitude defeats discouragement. You may not believe this, but I think it's true. There are a lot of people out there that would love to have your problems, because their problems are a lot worse. Third thing we can do is examine our lives. Examine our lives. Disasters have a way of clarifying our values, giving us a new picture, perhaps an eternal perspective that can really be helpful to our growth and development. We realize this is what's really important. This is what really matters. If you are a person who measures your life by what you've accumulated, like cars and money and clothes and toys, what happens if you lose those things? You lose your life. You're devastated. Better reevaluate. What about if your definition of family and success is tied to your house or yard or neighborhood or bank account, and that's destroyed or lost? What happens then? I better reevaluate. If your concept of the church is this building, and what happens if this building is reduced to a heap of ashes and rubble? We don't have a church anymore. No, then you realize the church are the people within that building. It's the relationships that I made while I was there. Jesus said, if two or three of you have gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. A church can be a small group of people worshiping God together in a home. If the word of God is preached, if the ordinances are delivered and church discipline is enacted, that's a church. I can foresee a day, maybe even in America, certainly in other places in the world already right now, where it's illegal to meet in a church building like this, and they have to meet in homes. Lost has forced us to ask, who is my family? Who is my church? Where is my life? What am I on earth for? What's my purpose for being here? Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Never confuse what you live in with what you live for. Never confuse your net worth with your self-worth. Never confuse your possessions with your purpose. The greatest things in life aren't things. 1 Timothy 6:7. Or, we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. There's only one way to have real security in life, and that's to build your life on what you can't lose. Can you lose your home, your career, your health, your good looks, your youth, your loved ones? Sadly, yes, we can lose all those things, but we can't lose God's love for us. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Because me, Jesus, a relationship with him is where real life is. The missionary Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for what he cannot lose. Fourth thing I can do, ask for help. God never intended you to go through life as the Lone Ranger, self-sufficient, never needing others. God created you for community, and each of us bring different gifts into that community to build up the body of Christ. We are made for fellowship. One thing I love about the launch and the philosophy of the launch is it's about community. And I love that. The Bible says right from the very beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. If you're going to rebuild your life after loss, you must allow people into your life. Romans 12:5 says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. But what happens in a painful loss is we often isolate ourselves from others. And that's a huge mistake, because that's when we need their support and love more than any other time. That's why the church is so important. And I believe in the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ, because it's a network of support for its members. So get involved. Let us know you. We want you to know us. I encourage you to join a smaller group, maybe a life group or a Sunday school class, or come to men's events or women's events. Those are ways for you to get to know other people better and them to get to know you. Fifthly, trust God. If you're going through a hard experience, you're going through loss, you are going to have to cry out to God and rely on Him and develop a deeper relationship with Him than you ever have before. As the song says, people need the Lord. Here are five inner qualities that I think a deeper walk with God will enhance your life so that when you're going through hardship, you'll make it. You need peace when you're going through a hard time. It says in Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, or as I was told, the Hebrew, peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Am I going to panic or pray? Am I going to worry or worship? I need peace, and God will give it to you. You need hope. Psalm 62:5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Everyone needs hope, and especially when you're going through a hard time. Without hope, you give up and die. You need courage. Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You may have to make hard decisions. You will be able to do it. You need wisdom when you're going through a hard time. Psalm 16:7 says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Only God knows what the future holds. You don't, so you know who holds you. You put your faith and trust in him. And you need strength. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, the Lord is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. God becomes your strength and your song when you know him and you're walking intimately with him through that hard time. Martin Niemöller was a Lutheran pastor in Germany who survived 3 years in a German concentration camp. He said, you're much stronger than you think you are when God dwells in you. Well, I've read accounts or actually watched a couple of videos of people who went through one case a tornado, one case a hurricane, and they were out in open space and the wind was blowing so ferociously that they grabbed a hold of a tree and held on until the worst of the wind had passed. If it was now, trees we know can uproot and blow away, but he thought this. Two individuals thought in each case it was better to hold on the tree than to let myself be swept away by wind and water. When your life is being uprooted, that's when you've got to hold on to God and not let go because he's unmovable. So what's the issue that you're dealing with that you need to recover from? A breakup, a divorce, health issue, death of a loved one, a broken dream, financial loss, a crisis in your career. In the book of Job 22, it says, receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. I remember a lady who had gone through a lot of hardship, including two failed marriages and an abortion. And she said, what's left to trust in? And the answer is Jesus. Sixth thing, don't become discouraged. Discouragement is a lot like joy. It's a choice. Luke 21:19, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. This is one of the biggest temptations that I go through in my life is discouragement. I don't know why, but it often hounds me. And I have to remember, I'm not going to give into this. The facts don't warrant this kind of discouragement. Enemy, get away from me. I have learned that that's when I really need to lean into the Lord harder than ever before. And the last thing I would like to share with you is to serve others. When you're going through a lot of loss in your life and you want to pull and isolate yourself and say, woe is me, that's the very time to reach out. I believe that God has wired human beings that they will get better themselves by helping someone else. One of the great passages in the New Testament for that is 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Isn't that wonderful? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, with which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. That's simply how it works. Sowing and reaping. The more I help others, the more I'm helped. God blesses me so I can be a blessing to others. I go through hard times, difficult times, so I have a testimony that I can share and help other people. Galatians 6:2 reminds us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, someone this morning may be going through a very difficult time, great loss in their life. Maybe it's unknown. Maybe it's interior. I pray, Lord, today that they would be reconnected with you if they are not. I pray that you would rebuild their world, Lord. Circumstantially, yes, but also in their emotions, their mental health, their physical health, and their spiritual health, to reconnect with you. And we do remember those that lost homes, maybe lost loved ones in a hurricane, an earthquake, some natural disaster as well. Be close to them. Help them rebuild their physical world too. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, our Savior, who knows what it's like to be a human being and goes through the things that we've gone through, including death. He knows. You know, Lord. I pray that you will minister to us during this time where we share this communion meal together as a church family. Bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare